In a world of proliferating products and differing kashrut standards, one is frequently confronted with the awkward decision of whether to accept or reject food or drink offered by a host. Leaving aside the food item itself, there is the matter of the utensils with which the food is served. Were these toiled, immersed in a mikveh ritual bath? The Gemara in Avodah Zarah, 75b, cites the pasuk in Bamidbar, "V'chol asher lo yavo bo'esh tavir b'mayim." Anything that cannot be placed in fire should be passed through the water. In context, the verse refers to the various methods by which utensils seized as spoils of the war with Midian could be rendered usable for the Jewish victors. By extension, these laws are taken to apply to all utensils purchased from non-Jews. The Rishonim debate whether this extension to all utensils is implicit in the verse, thereby granting it the status of a biblical law, midoraisa, or whether it is interpretive, a rabbinical enactment, midorabbanan. Most Rishonim conclude that tefilas kelim is indeed midoraisa. However, eating from the utensils that were not immersed would constitute only a rabbinic infraction. This would permit one to eat from utensils even if there is a doubt whether or not they were toiled, following the dictum Safek Darbanan Lakula. Supposing, however, that one were absolutely certain the utensils had not been properly immersed, according to Rav Moshe Feinstein, the matter would then depend on whether the food being served was a liquid or a solid, which would determine whether or not the utensil used was absolutely necessary for the food's consumption. A solid, for example, a piece of chicken, can be eaten with one's hands. In this case, the utensils are merely civilized apparatus. They can therefore be used. A liquid, such as soup, on the other hand, cannot be consumed without, at the very least, a bowl. Since the non-tovel bowl is absolutely necessary, it may not be used. In his tshuva, Moshe draws no distinction between a private home and a public hotel. The Darkei Tshuva, however, seems to indicate that one may be lenient when lodging at the latter. The rationale behind this leniency is that the person who purchased the utensils, the owner, did so for business purposes, and the person using them, the customer, does not own them. The distinction is frequently employed and cited by hotel owners as justification for not toveling their dishes. Many contemporary authorities, however, disagree strongly with this leniency. Which utensils must be toiled? The requirement of tefillah depends on three things: what the utensil is used, what the utensil is made of, the owner's intent, and the utensil's profits. What the utensil is made of? Midoraisa, only objects made of metal must be immersed, and a bracha made on the tefillah. The Torah lists six types of metal requiring immersion: gold, silver, copper, iron, tin, and lead. A hybrid metal, like stainless steel, which contains large quantities of iron, also requires tefillah with the bracha. Disposable metal, such as aluminum pans, however, do not fall under this rule and do not require tefillah, according to Rav Moshe, as durability is one of the defining features of a utensil. Nevertheless, if the pans are reused regularly, they are considered durable and require tefillah with a bracha. This is commonly and erroneously taken to mean that one may use the utensil once or twice before toiling it. In fact, all the classic authorities agree that even a single use of a vessel requiring tefillah is prohibited prior to immersion. Midrabanan, Klass, and Korel must be immersed with a bracha too, as their tefillah is no different than any other rabbinically mandated mitzvah for which a blessing must be pronounced. Glass-coated utensils, such as a glazed chinaware, are a subject of debate among contemporary poskim, but it has become common practice to tovel them without a bracha. The same is true of porcelain enameled pots and utensils made from two or more materials, such as Teflon-coated frying pans. Utensils of wood, paper, stone, plastic, heavy stoneware, or unglazed ceramic do not require immersion. Metal utensils used to prepare food while it is still in an inedible state, such as a grinder a mixer or butchering knife, should be toivled without a bracha, preferably together with metal pots, so that the bracha recited over the latter will cover the former. In addition to pots, metal, glass, or china utensils that come into direct contact with food must, of course, be toivled. The category is far broader than one might suppose. Besides silverware, bowls, plates, and cups, it includes griddle and grill tops on which foods are placed directly, pizza cutters, peelers, rolling pans, salt shakers, pot covers, and electrical appliances such as urns. An appliance that cannot be immersed should not be purchased. It has been demonstrated that immersion generally does not harm most equipment when they are allowed to dry out for about 3 days. The owner's intent. A utensil purchased for some other purpose and occasionally used to hold food, such as a screwdriver used in an emergency fork, does not require tefillah, and the same goes for components that hold food containers and utensils, such as oven racks on which pots are placed. Toasters do not require tefillah, according to Rav Moshe. Finally, tefillah depends on the utensil's province, as noted above. If it was manufactured by, purchased from, given as a gift by, or brought back from a non-Jew, it requires tefillah. It is for this reason that some posts can prohibit the selling of chametz utensils before Pesach, as they are of the opinion that utensils would require tefillah upon repurchase after Pesach. Utensils may also require a second tefillah if they were given to a non-Jew to repair. The determination would depend on the type and extent of the repair. Utensils jointly owned by a Jewish and non-Jewish partner do not require tefillah. There is a debate among early poskim regarding non-kosher utensils, but today most insist on koshering prior to immersing the utensil. The rationale behind this is that to do the reverse would be somewhat contradictory. An instance of tovo b'sheretz biyado, an attempt to render the utensil positively usable while it retains the negative taint of its non-Jewish origin. The process of tefillah. The utensil to be toveled must be free of any non-essential parts or cured substances, such as the glue residue from the manufacturer's label. The immersion must take place in a mikveh or in an ocean or river that flows year-round. One should be aware that some men mikvahs are not suitable for tefillas kelim. Anyone may perform the actual immersion, including a small child or a non-Jew, so long as a Jewish adult is present to supervise. One begins by wetting his hands with the mikveh water. He then takes the utensil, recites the bracha al tefillas kelim if required, and plunges the utensil into the water. If he forgot to make the bracha, the tefillah is still acceptable. If two utensils are being immersed together, they should not touch each other so as not to impede the flow of water in and around. Thus, if one chooses to use a basket or milk crate for a small, easily lost item like silverware, he should immerse the basket and then drop the individual utensils in one by one. This prevents them from jumbling together and blocking some of the surface areas. In addition, it may often be necessary to turn the utensil so that its opening faces upwards, permitting trapped air bubbles to escape. If the utensil cannot be brought to the mikveh, perhaps it is too heavy or too large to carry, a competent rabbinic authority must be consulted. This tidbit touches briefly on some of the fundamental aspects of tefillas kelim. It should be viewed merely as a primer. The topic is a complex one, and as always, one should consult his experienced local Orthodox rabbi with any questions or concerns. Thank you.